From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
There is widening fallout from the decision to place Oakland's police chief on leave. The city's new mayor defends her decision, but others aren't so sure.
Oakland right now is a cash cow for a permanent pension for Chief Warshaw.
We deserve the best public servants in the city, and if that means that we go through some chiefs, then that's what we need to do.
Squaring off outside San Francisco City Hall, what anti-abortion activists are targeting in the post-Roe v. Wade era. And could the damage to Capitola's pier actually help the city's plan to revitalize the waterfront? Good morning. It is Sunday, January 22nd. I'm Devin Feely. Let's start with a quick check of our weather with First Alert meteorologist Darren Pack.
Well, after a cold morning again, getting down into the mid-30s out there, the afternoon is going to be beautiful today. We're going to warm up into the mid and upper 50s. It's going to be nothing but sunshine. That's the easy part. I've got three headlines I'm going to go into a lot more detail with you on in the complete First Alert forecast. The first one is a coastal flood advisory because of king tides. High tide's going to happen today at around 11 o'clock this morning. But there's also a beach hazard statement. You got to be real careful if you're going to be anywhere near the surf, at least through this afternoon. And the most important one is the wind advisory. We're going to go into a lot of detail on how we could be looking at more downed trees in the complete forecast. I'll see you in a few minutes.
It has been 4 days now since Oakland's police chief, Laurent Armstrong, was suspended. It's alleged that he failed to hold another officer accountable for misconduct. And now we're hearing from Oakland's new mayor. She says she hasn't decided whether or not to fire the chief, but his defenders are not waiting for her decision. KPIX 5 reporter Da Lin spoke with the mayor and with one of the chief's biggest supporters.
As the mayor waits for more information, community leaders are coming out to defend Chief Laurent Armstrong, who is extremely popular in the city.
Laurent Armstrong is Oakland. When we cry, he cries. When we bleed, he bleeds. And this community has cried out for leadership of our town that can relate to the town. And I don't believe there's a more trusted leader at the helm than Laurent Armstrong.
Former West Oakland council member Lynette McElhaney says the problem isn't Armstrong. It's the court monitor Robert Warshaw, appointed by a judge to oversee the Oakland Police Department. The city pays Warshaw and his team more than $1 million a year. The department has been under federal oversight for 20 years. It was only supposed to last 5 years.
He has 1.2 million reasons to always find fault. Oakland right now is a cash cow for a permanent pension for Chief Warshaw. And had we just gone under receivership with the Department of Justice, this department far exceeds the expectation of many other departments in the country. And yet we're held under the thumb of a singular person. I think it's egregious. I think it's a money grab.
Some people called Warshaw the super chief since he has the power to hire and fire chiefs. The federal oversight was set to end this May, but city leaders fear the poor handling of a misconduct case will once again prolong the oversight. An independent report says Chief Laurent Armstrong failed to hold the sergeant accountable. Authorities say the sergeant was involved in a hit-and-run collision of a parked car. That same sergeant reportedly also fired a gun in an elevator at the police department and threw the shell casing off the Bay Bridge to cover it up. The report says the chief signed off on the light punishment given to that sergeant.
If there are wrongdoings, then there are wrongdoings, and those are the facts.
Warshaw proponents say Oakland police have only themselves to blame. They say stop screwing up and the oversight will end.
Under our administration, that we take these findings seriously. We must do what we need to do to get out of that oversight.
Mayor Tao repeatedly said putting Armstrong on leave is not a punishment or a disciplinary action.
My belief is that by holding ourselves accountable, we can be safer and a more just city.
The public should be very concerned that Warshaw's handling of the department has left us without consistency of leadership, which means you cannot get consistency of reform. Chief Armstrong is the 10th chief in 10 years. And there is no way to effectuate positive change with that level of turnover.
McElhaney says that if the city does end up firing Armstrong, then Judge Warshaw should be fired as well. She also mentioned the department's revolving door of police chiefs, 10 different chiefs in the past decade. Now, Armstrong became the tent's chief in February of 2021. That was after the former chief, Ann Kirkpatrick, was fired. Susan Manheimer served as the interim chief until Armstrong was hired. And now Assistant Chief Daryl Allison will serve as Oakland's acting chief for a second time. He previously led the department for 2 weeks in 2020 before Kirkpatrick was appointed. Mayor Tao's main opponent in last November's election, Lauren Taylor, says the decision to suspend the chief and the constant turnover distracts from the issues really facing the city. Betty Yu continues our coverage.
Former council member Lauren Taylor said he was shocked and surprised when he first learned that the chief was placed on administrative leave. He said if he were mayor, he would not have made that decision.
After reviewing this 16-page investigative report, Lauren Taylor said Mayor Sheng Tao's decision was excessive.
The report clearly says that the team who was briefing the chief left out significant elements of this case, but yet the chief is being held to account for those things that he wasn't aware of.
Recognizing that the buck stops with the chief, Taylor said he doesn't believe that warrants placing him on administrative leave and that it more than likely puts him on a path toward dismissal.
When you have someone at a senior executive level and you put them on administrative leave, issue a press release that then puts their name in headlines across the country, that is a significant amount of harm that is inflicted for something that is supposed to be not punitive.
Taylor said other options to hold the chief accountable include a formal reprimand and docking his pay. He said the shakeup is happening at a time when employee morale is at a historic low and the city's focus should be on its vacancy crisis.
Next week, we're going to be without a city administrator. We do not have a homelessness administrator anymore. We have vacancies in the directors of human services, economic development, housing.
He added that as city council member, when he called attention to a shortage of patrol officers in East Oakland, the chief responded.
It was through conversations with and partnering with the police chief that we were able to expand to 6 police areas that actually brought 48 additional officers on the ground. It's transformations like that that he has championed.
Taylor said it's just one example of Armstrong's support of officers and his commitment to keeping Oakland safe.
In other news, a woman was killed after her Tesla crashed through a fence and into a pool in San Rafael. Rescue crews needed a crane to remove that car. The highway patrol says the woman apparently wasn't wearing her seatbelt. Now, she died after her car hit the wall of the pool. They don't know at this time if the car was in self-driving mode at the time of the crash. Now to South San Francisco, where police arrested a 48-year-old man suspected of 2 armed robberies. Both incidents happened at a bank on McKellen Drive. Investigators say the suspect used a replica of a semi-automatic pistol. Also in San Francisco, the annual anti-abortion Walk for Life event brought out activists on both sides of that debate. For nearly 7 months after Roe v. Wade was overturned, the anti-abortion activists led a walk down Market Street. The West Coast Walk for Life organization says their work is not finished yet, especially since California is passing a Proposition 1, which wrote the right to an abortion into the state's constitution.
Nobody told you what your fetus, what your baby looked like in the womb. And if think if there would be more, if that could be more publicly known, that it might change people's minds.
On the other side of the issue, hundreds of pro-choice activists gathered nearby leading chants and holding signs.
The only reason I'm in law school is because I had access to a safe abortion in 2012. I find it very important to be here because there's so many women who are not allowed to say their stories because of religion, because of their family, and I feel like it is time for us to rise up.
Among the counter-protesters were the Rise Up organization and the Raging Grannies. After the recent winter storms, the cleanup and recovery is just getting started, and that includes Capitola, where a large section of the historic pier was washed away. Now, businesses there are under more pressure as they try to bounce back from the pandemic. But I've also been learning that in the long run, there could be an upside to some of the storm-related problems. The damage to the historic Capitola Wharf is a testament to the mighty power of Mother Nature and the combination of wind and water that knocked the pier like a battering ram.
We're really at Mother Nature's mercy.
David Morris is the owner of Capitola Boat and Bait, one of two businesses that call the wharf home.
We're sitting ducks. We can't do anything. This will be shut down until this wharf is repaired.
Pounding surf and whipping wind clawed out a chunk of the pier. David's boat rental business survived but is effectively cut off, unreachable during a critical period during the off-season.
We have repairs that need to be done on quite a few of those boats out there. And without those repairs, we can't put the boats in the water.
Time in coastal communities like Capitola is marked by the tides and the ebb and flow of each year's tourism season, which officially begins on April 1st. So what's the likelihood the wharf will be repaired and ready to go by then?
Our goal is to be able to start a project up this fall and then wrapping it up hopefully a year from now.
City manager Jamie Goldstein says Capitola was already planning to widen and renovate the wharf this fall, and it just makes sense to roll the renovations and repairs into a single project.
When we've looked at just doing a pure repair project, one of the things we see is that best case scenario, we could be wrapping up those repairs just in time to commence the cost of to start the new big renovation project. And that just doesn't make any sense.
But that's not comforting news for David Morris, whose business is effectively dead in the water until the wharf reopens.
My employees are my number one. I mean, they are the backbone of every business out here is our employees. Without our employees, none of us have a business.